820. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the Summit County Council meets tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock with a site visit to the Commons at New Park before moving back to the Richens Building, where they'll stop the regular meeting at 4. In the studio, I have Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So the site visit, right now there's a big covered fence around this Commons at New Park. No holes dug as the County Council considers the appeal. So can the Crandalls do any work until that decision's made?
There is some minor work that they're allowed to do under the ordinance and under the development agreement. And our attorney's office has detailed that back to all of the parties involved in the appeal or the application itself.
So what does that work entail?
It's minor grading, but what's more important with that is that they also have to post a bond associated with that in case the ruling is with the appellant, that can be restored.
Okay. So the council, as they go for this site tour, I mean, what are they looking at specifically?
Well, I think they're just trying to get context to what both the applicant, the original applicant, the Crandalls, and the appellants are saying in their statements. You know, sometimes being on the ground provides better context than sitting in the boardroom and looking at the paper.
So after the site visit, you'll come back to Richens, and then at 5 o'clock, the council will take up the appeal from where they left off? I mean, they've heard all of the testimony?
They have. So I think, Council Member Clyde had to leave early after making some comments and hearing some of the testimony. So there might be some questions around that, as well as some further statements from the appellants or the applicants. But the chair runs that show, and so she will take the council through that deliberation.
All right. But in terms of any new arguments or information, that really can't be presented, or can it?
Well, there have been supplemental statements that have been added to the record since the last time this was heard. Those are in the packet that I believe it'll be amended today so that folks have the chance to see it. So that stuff will be considered. But other than that, the record as it stood the last time is pretty much the arguments.
There seems to be an affidavit from a senior county planner, Peter Barnes, there concerning the town center principle. So what's the purpose of that?
Well, I think the council asked for Peter to provide something that in this manner of how he looks at the town center, just as another data point in their deliberation. And so that's what he's produced with the help of the attorney's office.
All right. Before that discussion, though, at 4:20, a discussion and possible adoption of a resolution authorizing the county the filing of cross appeals. The issue apparently centrally assessed properties filing appeals against the state tax commission. In the staff report, they reference about 8 companies, including CenturyLink, Chevron Pipeline, and Union Pacific. So this allows the county to join as a party. Is it just a new state law?
Yeah, it's part of the state law or the interpretation by the tax commission of how this should work. That in order to have standing within the appeal process, because most counties are part of these centrally assessed appeals, or can have standing within those, you have to file this resolution in order to have standing. So that's what we're doing.
All right. In this particular case, any idea how much tax revenue is involved here?
I don't know that detail.
All right. Let's briefly, any other new appeals headed to the county council? Any appeals of decisions by you?
Yes. The Nicholas Clubhouse at Promontory has filed, the Promontory folks have filed an appeal on that. So that will be coming forward in the near future.
And this had to do with the affordable housing requirements, right?
I don't want to speak to the specifics of their appeal because I'm not totally familiar with it. But my decision was to approve the clubhouse with the conditions that they provide that affordable housing plan to the county's satisfaction. And I believe that's the part that they're appealing.
The timing of that?
Yes.
Okay. When does that come back? Any idea?
We have statutory time limits that we have to meet. It's probably going to be within the next 30 days that it'll be scheduled with the council.
All right. And the council also has a special meeting scheduled on Thursday. Why can't that be discussed on Wednesday?
Well, we need about 3 hours in order to do that. It's a discussion that will help with our budget process this year, and we haven't really had a deep dive into some of our special funds that we have in the county, specifically transient room tax, wrap tax, restaurant tax. And there's some things coming in the future that we need to get some better direction as staff, or at least some initial discussion about those things. For instance, the change in the percentages of TRT that's kept by the county versus going to the Chamber of Commerce. Since we'll be collecting more at the county, we need a little bit of direction on what the council would like to do with that. As well, the wrap tax reauthorization comes up in 2020, and we need to talk about that and discuss, you know, do they want to continue the program as it is now? Do we want to bond at the beginning of reauthorization? Some of those kind of questions start to come up.
And does this also, first, so the Park City Planning Commission meeting tomorrow night starting at 5:30 at the Marsac Building in the studio. I have Planning Director Bruce Erickson. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Leslie.
Now, the Planning Commission was scheduled to discuss the proposed code amendments regarding RV parking, but that has been continued. How come?
This is very, very complex and very, very difficult. Trying to sort out all the many variations of what people want to do and how we can enforce and how we can't enforce. So we're trying to make sure it's done right. It's somewhere between telling your kids to clean their room and Obamacare in terms of how the regulations work. So we're still trying to sort it out. We had an open house a week ago. We had some comments from those folks. We're trying to adapt those comments into it. Recreational vehicles is a broad term. It's almost impossible to define.
And I was going to ask you, how do we define it? Is it a certain size?
We're working on some size restrictions. We're working on motorized versus non-motorized vehicles. We're working on a couple things, but the basic strategy is this, is that recreational vehicles, whatever they are, probably don't want to be parked in the right-of-way for very long because that interferes with snow removal. It interferes with stormwater. And it interferes with your neighbor's rights to park on the street as well.
So right now we have a temporary ordinance in place. I mean, basically allowing RV parking from, I think, May 1 through...
Well, we have a stay of the existing prohibition. So most jurisdictions prohibit recreational vehicle parking, and especially resort towns and high-end homeowners associations. The city council has given us direction to be a little bit more liberal on that, and so we're trying to find a mechanism to allow recreational vehicle parking without impacting the neighborhoods. We have two objectives, Leslie. Objective one is to minimize the impact of the human environment on the natural environment, which means reduce parking. And second, protect the neighborhoods. And there's a promise out there that we talk about a lot. And the first promise is when you look at moving to a neighborhood, all your neighbors roughly made a promise to keep their yards nice and it all looks nice and you want to buy the house. And that's the promise that they made. The reverse of that medal is you also make a commitment to that neighborhood. And if you're parking recreational vehicles or commercial vehicles or snow plows or landscaping in the neighborhood, you're detracting from that promise you made to your neighbors. And there's a whole bunch of personal responsibility in that beyond just what our regulations can do.
Well, what you heard at the open house was a retired resident who says, you know, May 1 to November 1 isn't her traveling season, lucky lady, but how do we accommodate her?
Well, we're adjusting those rules to put that into effect. And I think the biggest issue now is we're comfortable with going with a 30-day kind of, you can park it for 30 days, but you got to move it. Code enforcement really has an issue with that, in that how do you count the 30 days? What constitutes a movement? We've had some really bad actors up on Woodside Avenue get parking passes for residential parking and then parking their RV up there for several days at a time and then moving it to the other side of the street, parking in the wrong direction, no shortage of just unfortunate behavior.
So the 30 days is the street parking? I mean, was that what you're saying? That I thought that the stay allowed you just to park it on your property.
Right. So 30 days is on your property. The street is 72 hours right now, and we're not looking at changing that. We'd like to drop the 72 hours back. But if you've got kids and you want to load up the RV and you want to take care of the dog or whatever, a couple, 3 days probably isn't a problem. And the issue there is if you have a 43 or 44 footer, you're taking up two parking spaces of the public property, not just one. And then two, we've done a study that gives us the average distance between driveways, and that's running at about 40 to 50 feet. So if you're parking a 40-foot RV, your neighbors can't see to back out of the driveway. So there's a lot of issues out there. It's very complicated. I think if the planning director could get his way, we would continue with the prohibition, but I don't think that's what the city council wants.
So there's also some technical issues regarding the use of gravel for landscaping. So how is that related to RV parking? Are they totally separate?
Early on, the City Council and the Planning Commission determined that in order to protect front yards, particularly and side yards and neighbors, they would restrict parking to being on hard surfaces. And that was a mechanism to try and reduce the impacts of the neighborhood. We're seeing a lot of sort of overnight gravel installations and kind of how did that get there installations. And it sort of promotes this overuse of the parking areas for a house, especially if you're renting 5 or 6 bedrooms. And the planning department is really distraught over the neighbors that really try and keep their homes up and keep them nice, respond to the water restrictions. And then their neighbor decides to just gravel their driveway and put 6 cars in there. So it's a matter of fairness in the neighborhood. What we're going to do is we're going to deregulate parking recreational vehicles in the side yard as long as they're on a hard surface. We don't want petroleum oils and lubricants into the groundwater. And if you're in the soils ordinance, which is Prospector Square and a couple of the other locations, we need to make sure that that soil is not working up through the gravel and entering the air column.
Okay. So when does this come back? Before the stay expires? Or
Planner Moreland is working on it right now with me. Hopefully we come back on the first meeting in September with this. We're trying to get this done as quickly as we can, but it's very complicated.
All right, real quickly, also on the agenda, a plat amendment to create a single driveway for 2 homes now under construction on Comstock. Is that the idea?
That's correct. That's another weird anomaly. One of the plats in Prospector was platted with a road. The other plat did not include the road, and so we're trying to make all of that go away. That's off of Ina Drive and Comstock. I'm not real sure what happened there, but it's another kind of legacy project that we're trying to clean up.
Yeah, so the bus stop is in front of it, so it stays?
The bus stop stays for sure.
And then the commission will also look at the conditional use permit for the proposed new City Golf maintenance facility. This is replacing the existing building that's going to be torn down for the Three Kings treatment plant.
Right, so there's 3 things going on out there. First of all, the water treatment plant needs to be replaced. And so there are 2 parts to that. One is moving the golf maintenance facility to a better facility, which is going to be between the driving range and the 10th hole. The neighbors have some concerns about noise and folks accessing back there, and we're trying to address that now. The building is 1 story. It has a green roof. It's earth sheltered on the north side. Right now we're putting some conditions of approval on deliveries, and we're making sure that there's available parking for the employees that are going to be there.
Okay. So is this going to be bigger than what we've got now?
Yes and no. A lot of the golf course material storage right now is handled out at Quinn's Junction, and some of that will remain. Some of the material storage will go on site so that we reduce the total number of trips going out there. The golf course staff works really hard to do a really green golf course in terms of environmental sustainability. So they've got some special materials they need to make sure the place is kept up and not polluting the water out there.
Okay, anything else you want to mention?
Sure. Good luck on the fundraiser. We can't do our job without you guys. For 5 decades, me and my predecessors have done this. For 25 years, you've been giving us the message to get out there.
Okay, Bruce, thank you. KPCW News Time. is 8:48. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, Park City Municipal and Park City School District have planned a bike to school day. That's happening Friday, August 31st. In the studio with details, I have the principal of McPullen Elementary, Bob Edmiston, and along with Park City Senior Transportation Manager, Julia Collins. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Good morning.
So we'll start with you, Julia. This is an annual event that's done every year. To do what?
Great question. Well, we annually actually have a bike to school work and play day in May. And this year, we thought, let's kick off the fall. The kids are going back to school. People, we still want to kind of keep that momentum for riding your bike. And let's have a bike back to school work and play day. So this is actually new this year, and we're really excited to kick it off. You know, it's a community celebration. We want to invite everyone to come join us for breakfast that morning between the hours of 8 and 9:30. And we're also partnering with a school to have a really exciting event with the school, and the kids can bike to school on that day. I don't know if you want to explain that a little bit, Principal E.
Yeah, so you've got kids coming from all over.
Yes.
Park Meadows, we've got them coming from like Aspen Villa area, and then, of course, from Park City Heights as well. So
yes, and we will have the Park City Police Department at Park City Heights, at the Mark, at Aspen Villas. There to help supervise. Parents always come. Staff will be there as well, and we gather at set times and all gather then, ride together, and meet in the parking lot directly in front of the high school. So we have some visibility. We'll have local businesses there, Cole Sport, Jan's. We'll have the breakfasts and working very hard at a couple pieces. One, helping students be reminded and trained on road safety and the importance of being good bike riders and always very careful. And at the same time, communicating the same information to our parents about the importance of being safe on the road. We have students on the roads and all those pieces coming together. We are a healthy bike town and take advantage of that.
All right. Make sure you got a helmet, too.
Make sure you have a helmet.
You know, there's one. Yeah. One great that you brought that up. Park City Municipal, in partnership with our bike shops and our city council, have generously donated some funds for bike safety materials. So we'll be handing out, we have 100 helmets, and also in partnership with Mountain Trails Foundation, we have bells. So everyone that attends that day will get a bike, a bell on their bike. And, you know, it's important to be safe and thoughtful when riding, and so we're really looking at this event as an opportunity to educate both the riders, the students, the community about the importance of both the responsibilities on the driver and on the cyclist or skateboarder or, you know, whatever mode you're taking that day.
Okay. school starts at what time, 8:30?
No, school starts at 8:15,
sharp. Oh, 8:15, okay. So, yeah. 8:15. So you're going to be meeting at Park City Heights there at the bottom of the development at 7:30. At the Mark, you'll be at 7:50. Arches Park there in the Prospector area at 7:50. Aspen Villa is there in the parking lot at 7:50. And then basically you'll meet at the high school by 8:10 with what, just some quick snacks?
It will be quick. Time is always challenging. We want to take advantage of this, so we are actually gathering at the high school. I'm sure we'll have a number of us late. For that reason, we will have our traditional flag-raising ceremony that morning at 8:30. That is a tradition at McPullen. And this year, if his schedule stays open, Mayor Andy has volunteered to be a part of that activity and take full advantage of this community event.
Okay, and then the kids then learn more about safety at kind of an all-school.
At lunch, we're going to have a bike rodeo. We have a couple groups that Julia has organized that will be helping students learn about bike skills in our parking lot during the school day.
Okay. Again, this is happening on Friday, the 31st. While I've got you in here, Principal Ed, let's talk real briefly about the new fencing. You've got that up now at the school, ready to go?
Ready to go.
For day one. How do you think this is going to help? Of course, we used to see kids there along the bike path, hiding in and out of those trees, playing on the ball fields.
You've been there. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All those things. This is just going to improve our safety routines and procedures. So we're happy about the whole piece. It was implemented to improve our ability to keep students safe, to have routines in place create a boundary. We have now worked on the hill, so we have a clear line of sight to our boundary line. We keep evolving and improving. I don't see this anything but a benefit, and we'll keep going forward. Things keep changing.
And then what about the work that needed to be done in the interior there as you walk into the front office? Has that been completed? You ready to go?
That has been completed. So we've always had a good safety plan, Leslie. And this is, again, as we continue to evolve and improve, we have added this change in our lobby area to help organize and structure supervision of everyone entering the school, and we're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, you always had the office right there with glasses. It was easy to see.
Correct.
Now it just people are funneled into the office. Is that how it's going to work?
That is how we want it to work. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that, like any new activity, we will be learning a little bit as we make a plan and realize we might make adjustments. The idea is that we will have a more structured approach to checking everyone who enters the school.
Great. So how many kids you got coming this year? Any
idea? 400. Add preschool, about 440. And we could not be more excited. Best year yet.
Yeah. And in terms of new teachers, do you have new teachers or a lot of returners?
We mostly are returning this year. We only actually added two new staff from the district. We had a couple of staff that were in district that transferred into McPolin, so they're new to our school, not the district.
Okay, and then you're also continuing with the dual language immersion program, and that's going
well? We are one of two school-wide, non-lottery, dual language immersion schools in our state. We are a Title I school. We are a especially diverse school, and it complements our entire community. We could not be more excited to have that program and continue to offer that to our community and students.
Now, how are your Spanish speaking skills?
Lousy.
You need to sit through some class time.
No bueno.
Getting better, though?
Of course.
Okay. Again, it's Bike Back to School. If you want more information, I'm sure you've got it up on the website.
Julia and the city have been amazing. We are very excited. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks,
Principal Ed and Julia Collins. KPCW News Time now, 8:55. It's the local news hour on KPCW.